Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 3 this morning. Are you ready for the word today? We'll start here this morning. We'll see if we look at some other things today. And we're just going to get in the word for a little bit. It's good to be in the house. Amen. Revelation chapter 3. You got it? All right. It's the last book of the Bible. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus said, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Now, I want to just kind of break this verse down a little bit today and just do some preaching, teaching out of this verse and just stir us up a little bit. Because there's a lot in this verse. He said, the King James says, "Because you've kept the word of my patience." The New King James says, "Because you kept my command to endure," which is what's being said here, because you've just kept enduring through things. How many of things are going to come? Yeah. We all have things that we have to deal with, but he said, "You just kept enduring." He said, I'm going to also keep you from." Now, notice he didn't say, "I'm going to keep you in." He said, "I'm going to keep you from it." Hallelujah. "I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation or trial, which is going to come on all of the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." So Jesus talked about there's a time coming when there's going to be a trial come on the earth that's going to try everybody on the earth. We know of it as the Great Tribulation. Period. See. Now, listen, this is not just a statement to the church here at Philadelphia, because this church at Philadelphia, they all passed on and went on to be with the Lord before the Great Tribulation came. But see, Jesus said, he said himself, and he never changed this, so we just have to go with what he said. He said, "No man knows the day nor the hour, not even the Son of Man, only the Father." But he made a blanket promise here that if we persevere, he's going to keep us from that hour of tribulation. Hallelujah. Now, I've heard people say he's going to keep it in us. No, he didn't say he's going to keep it in us. He said he's going to keep us from it. And this word "from" means from. Hallelujah. And like a guy said one time, I studied the word "and" in the Greek. I studied "and" in the word "and" in the Hebrew. He said, I spent time studying that. He said, "You know what it means? And." I love what Wigglesworth used to say. Some people like to read their Bible in Greek. Some people like to read their Bible in Hebrew. I like to read mine in the Holy Ghost. Because you can know the Greek, you can know the Hebrew and still miss it. But Jesus said, "I'm going to keep you from that hour." See, there is something coming in this earth that you want to miss. Oh, yes. Are you with me now? Yes. Now, this message came to me, it came to me from heaven. Oh, my messages are from heaven. Hallelujah. All right, that's a little joke. But really, at Wednesday night, the Lord, after service, I went home and, did what I did, had something to eat, and, sat on the couch with my lovely little wife there. And we did watched our movie, our old black and white movie that we know is going to be clean and we don't have to, get shocked by, praise God. and went to bed, and then in the middle of the night, I woke up and God began saying, "I want you to talk about the tribulation period." I thought, okay, I can do that. Got to do that. Because we need to be ready. We need to be ready. See, there's an hour coming. See, have you ever watched the hurricane coverage? You know how you have a hurricane and all the reporters get out there in the midst of it, Amen. if you got a Cat 5 coming in, they're not out there when it hits. Are they? See, they're out there in the outer bands. The outer edge of it's coming ashore. And you can get out there in that. And you're okay, and they're out there reporting on it, and you'll see them, braced against the wind, "I'm coming to you," from wherever. And they talk about the hurricane and all. And the Lord said to me one time, he said, right now, the world is experiencing the outer bands of the tribulation period. That's what we're in right now. We've not hit it yet, but we're feeling it is coming on shore. Are you with me now? Now, you know, God's timetable and our timetable, you know, for God, it's like God can tell you he's going to do something, and it sounds like it's going to be tomorrow. And then 10 years, he still hasn't done it yet. But, you know, to him, it was nothing. Are you with me now? See, it can sound with God. But I'm saying this because in 1972, I had what I call a night vision. It was a vision of the nighttime, and in this vision, and I don't have this often. You know, I'm not somebody that, and you know that you know, has six visions before breakfast. I question those people. Sorry, you know, you may think they're okay, but no. Even Apostle Paul didn't have that kind of thing going on in his life all the time. But yet, they are real. And so in 1972, I had a vision, and I was out on the football field in our town where I lived at, and all of a sudden, Jesus appeared in the sky. From the waist up, I saw him, and he said this, and this is all he said to me. He said, "I'm coming back soon." And then the vision was over. He disappeared. But I understood now, you know, when I read the Bible, and I read in there where John said his voice is as the sound of many waters. I thought, that's about the only way you could describe his voice. It's like nothing you've ever heard before. I'd never heard a voice like that, but it's like it filled every crevice of the world, you know, my world. It just reverberated. I'm coming back now. Then it disappeared. Now, that was 1972. Now, I didn't live for Jesus. I went on in the 70s as a life of living in drugs and alcohol abuse, and I lived that way. But yet, at the same time, I could not forget that I had an encounter with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, all my other friends could party hardy, but I happened to know Jesus was real.
Amen.
And he was coming back. Because, you know, you may not believe what I saw. That's fine. But I know what I saw, and I wasn't saved. I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't serving God. But God knew something that I didn't know. He knew I was going to be an end time preacher.
Yes.
I had no idea in 1972 I was going to be a preacher. I had no idea in 1974 I was going to be a preacher. I had no idea in 1976. I had no idea in 1978. Now, 1979 and 1980, I began to think, I wonder if God's doing something here. I knew he was dealing with me to get saved. But God put that in me so that I wouldn't go off the edge. You with me now? I always knew he's real, man. Hallelujah. Jesus is real. And he's coming back soon.
Yes.
Now, 1972, let me think. That's 49 years ago. 49 years ago. My gosh, I must have been one when I had that vision. No, I wasn't one. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Here's what I know. He's coming back.
Amen.
And, you know, if you'd ask me, the signs that I see today, if you'd asked me 20 years ago, I wouldn't have thought this stuff was possible. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have thought it was possible. But here we are, praise God. We're on the verge of Jesus Christ coming back. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. So he said, I'm going to keep you from the hour that's coming on the earth to try the whole world. Everybody, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, all are going to be tried during this period. It's a time of trouble. The Bible refers to it in Jeremiah as a time of Jacob's trouble. And there'll be nothing like it, the Bible says. It'll be trouble like we haven't seen trouble. And yet today, we're in a place of trouble like we've never seen before in our world. I'm hearing sinners say, people on TV, the world's gone crazy. It's falling apart. It absolutely is. It's falling apart, but it's going to get rearranged one day, hallelujah, by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. But before that happens, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period hit this earth like nothing we've ever seen before. But the good thing about the Christians that are ready is Jesus said, if you persevere, I'm going to keep you from that hour.
Amen.
I'm going to keep you from it. I'm not going to keep you in it. I'm going to keep you from it.
Yes.
Now, I've heard all kinds of things said. I've heard preachers say, well, every generation of the church has gone through tribulation and trouble. That's true. But this is different. This is called the wrath of God. There's two things about the tribulation period you got to know. Number one, God gave His Son Jesus Christ to deliver every human being on the planet. And there's going to come a point when He is, if you'll excuse me for saying, this, He's tired of them rejecting it. He's tired of them throwing that sacrifice back in His face. And He's going to deal with it. Are you with me? We're in a time of grace right now, but the Bible talks about the time of the Gentiles coming to an end. You see, God brought this message of salvation to the Jews first. They rejected it. Even the Apostle Paul said, seeing you find yourselves not fit for salvation, we're going to the Gentiles. That doesn't mean there's not saved Jews. There are. But we're talking about as a whole. They rejected it. You read Daniel. Daniel prophesied about it. He prophesied about God's dealings with Israel. And he talked about there was a 7-year period he was going to come back and finish up his dealings with the nation of Israel. 7 final years. That's the Great Tribulation. It's called Jacob's Trouble. Israel will go through much trouble during that period. But before that happens, the time of the Gentiles must come to an end. And by and large, the church is made up of former Gentiles. Gentile. We could call us Gentile believers, but we're really engrafted Jews now. But you don't understand what I'm saying. We came out of the Gentile world. The Bible tells us we don't keep the law. We're Gentile believers. We came out of that. We came out of the world, that is. We came out of that. And so there's a time coming when Jesus Christ is going to come and get the church and keep this promise in Revelation chapter 3. He's going to deliver us from that hour. Yes. Now, there is no doubt. You just cannot deny it. There is no doubt that the Bible talks about two distinct comings of Jesus. There's no doubt you could. People say, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the word caught up is. Right. We use rapture because the word rapture means ecstatic joy, extreme ecstasy, all right, my work lips, ecstasy. See, what are we saying? The word, we use the word rapture. It's a Latin word to describe it. That's the one we chose to use. It's not in the Bible, but it still means caught up, transported. Amen. You could call it the translation, the catching away, the rapture, whatever you want to call it. There's no doubt the Bible says that. But there's no doubt there's two distinct comings because there's the Bible talks about the Lord coming for His saints. Then it talks about Him coming with His saints. The Bible talks about the Lord coming in the air. Then it comes about Him coming and putting His feet on Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives. So there's two distinct comings. And see, a lot of Christians don't hear this any longer, so they don't even know it. But what we need to know is that if we're ready, hallelujah, before that tribulation period hits, Jesus is going to come get the church out of here. Hallelujah. Paul described it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed at the last trump.
Amen.
Dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up.
Yes.
That's what Paul said, Thessalonians. We'd be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. We'll be changed. Glory to God. What do you see me in my glorified body? I ain't quite decide who I want to look like. Think about who I want to look like, you know? Who you want to look like? I was thinking, you know what? I like you. Well, he and I, now he's got more hair than I do, but we're going to have more hair. I was telling Phyllis, you know, I was watching an old movie with Kirk Douglas. Remember him? And I was watching him put on his tie, you know. And, you know, I go in there and I flip my collar up on my tie, my collar up, and I put my tie on. And I noticed he just left his collar down and unbuttoned and got his tie and just worked it underneath there. So I've been working on that for several weeks now, trying to I said, I got to tie my tie like Kirk Douglas. The next thing I want hair like him. Amen. But how many know we're going to get a glorified body, praise God. Amen. And it's going to be better than this one, amen.
Amen.
So, you know, you may think that some of this is a fairy tale, but it's all right in your Bible. Amen. So he's going to keep us from it. Amen. He's going to keep us from the hour of temptation. Now we want to be ready. Amen. We want to be ready. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. I'll look about three scriptures this morning, maybe four, if that's all right. But let's go there to Luke 21 because I want to stir you up. You know, listen now. I've spent all my ministry. Now this is like, this is the 30, I'm thinking it's the 39th year of ministry for me, I believe. 82, whatever that would be. Yeah, that'd be 39 years. This past month was 39 years. I've spent 39 years teaching about faith, about believing God, about renewing your mind, about being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, along those lines, I've taught those lines. Now, you know, when I started pastoring, I've started teaching different subjects because people need different things. I know that. But when I was traveling and I wasn't pastoring, I could stay in those veins, and that's where God had me. But now lately, the Lord's just been just really impelling me, and I've been saying this, and I hope people are listening, that you got to make sure you're ready to go. And just because you're going to Oasis Church doesn't mean you're ready to go. Just because you're going to any church doesn't mean you're ready to go. You got to have a fire for God. God's been dealing with me about there's a lot of Christians that are going to get sucked out of the kingdom in these last days if they don't watch it. And I'm taking the warning myself. I'm not just pointing at any person or anybody. I'm just simply saying we got to make sure we're ready. And if we get that mindset that, you know, hey, I'm good. If we get that mindset, then we're in trouble if we're not checking up on things. Any athlete will tell you if they get that mindset, well, I'm pretty good now. You know, I don't need to prepare for this fight. Well, you're about to lose that fight. Because you're going to let some things happen that shouldn't have happened because you weren't ready. So we got to be ready.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's go here to Luke chapter 21, if you would. Verse 34. Well, let me just say this before we read it, okay? Jesus has been talking about the end times, you know, about what's going to happen and the signs of the times and so forth and his coming and all. His disciples have asked him about it. And in verse 34, he said this. He said, take heed to yourselves. Now, he's talking to his disciples, take heed to yourselves, and lest any time your hearts be overcharged, this is King James, overcharged or burdened down with surfeiting. Now, that's not surfing. Surfeiting is an old English word, and it means excess. If I say excess?
Excess.
Now, how many know you could have excess in a lot of different areas? You know, anything that you allow to go to excess in your life and take away from your a fellowship and a relationship with God, that would be surfeiting. It could be anything. It doesn't mean it's necessarily a sin, the thing you're doing, but you could overindulge. One of the things I don't do is before I'm preaching, you know, if I'm going to go preach, Matt, I don't eat before I preach. I don't eat. Because unless I'm preaching with the full gospel businessman, and then we eat chicken fully, you know, and all, because that's a meal, you know. And I've gone to meetings like that where, you know, they serve a meal, you know, and so we're going to eat before. But if it's my choice, I don't eat before I preach. I don't eat breakfast before I come here. I don't drink coffee. I don't have anything except a lifesaver. That's so my breath smells good. All right. And I don't do anything. And now before Wednesday night service or a service I'm preaching, I don't eat before that. I go in there not having eaten. I want to be lean, mean, and ready. I don't want to be weighed down.
Right.
I don't want to be belching cucumbers. I don't eat cucumbers, but, you know, they say cucumbers make you belch. I don't know. I never have tried. I can belch without them. I know that. But. So, you know, I don't do that because, now that's just me. I'm not saying anybody else has to do that. I'm just saying that's just me. I've done that way for 39 years now. I'm not going to change. It's not going to change. So that's just me. Well, I want to be mean, lean, and ready to go. I don't want to be weighted down, you know, where my body's trying to digest four tacos. Because your physical body can affect you. And so, you know, and what I'm saying by that is I'm saying you could be weighed down with a lot of things. You could be overcharged with a lot of things. You surfeiting could be a lot of things that you just allow come in your life and it starts pushing God out. Now, you don't recognize it because you don't see it that way. You just see it as I'm just doing my thing. But yet, you have less and less time for God in your life. You have less and less time. Listen now, you have less and less time for the things of God. You have to understand, see, we're in a time. Well, let me finish reading this before I keep preaching this all out. No, don't be overcharged. Notice this, with surfeiting, drunkenness. We ought to know that's not right, yeah? I mean, you come here for a week, I don't know that. What about the next one? Cares of this life. Come on. See, we don't think anything about that. Just let life overtake us. So that day come upon you unawares. See, he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to his disciples here. He said, if you don't live right, that day will come upon you and you won't even know it's coming. You'll be desensitized to it. You get calloused. Remember the Bible talks about a seared conscience or a callous conscience. Well, anybody got any calluses on their body? Sure, I've got them. I used to have them here because I used to lift weights. Used to. Long time ago. And I had them all the way across my hands from that bar, you know. And you could just stick a pin in there. Didn't hurt anything. You know, from running. I don't know if it's just from running, but my heels are calloused. And, you know, they tear the bed sheets up. Because they're so rough. So I bought one of these things. You know, it's like a woman uses. You know, I kind of feel funny using it. You know, one of those little things. That thing, it's just too slow. It's too slow. So I went to Lowe's and got some tools. I thought, my gosh, it'd take me 3 years to get all that callus off of this and quit ripping the bed sheets up. So I went to Lowe's and I got this little sanding wheel you could put on a drill. And now, I'm telling you, when I put it on there now, we get some action, brother. Hey, man. But I could take a pen, a knife, anything and stick it right in there. I don't feel it. I'm calloused. That's what happens if we don't live our lives right, is we lose our spiritual feeling. We can become spiritually dead in our feeling. We don't have that sensitivity. You know what I'm saying? And God could be moving. Come on, why is it sometimes when I go preach places and, you know, even probably maybe here, some people just get so blessed and tell me that so blessed me, Pastor, and other people like it didn't move them at all. It's not, you know, you could blame yourself, but it's not me, it's them. Some people are sensitive, some people aren't. Some people are hungry, some people aren't. Right? See, we've learned a long time in pastoring people. We can't help people that won't receive our instructions from the Word. We can't help you. We can't do anything. We can still love you and still pray for you, but we really can't help you. I mean, we've tried to help people before and give them the Word, and it's like, well, I don't have time for that. Well, we can't help you. I'm sorry. We don't have any magical wand in the back room that Kenny brings out when we need it. You know, he carries it out on a pillow, says, Pastor, I know somebody needs something. Get this off the pillow, whack them in the head, and they'll be delivered. We don't have one of those. If we did, we'd whack Kenny in the head with it. We'd give it to Emily. Okay. Phyllis says Kenny's good, so I guess he's good. All right. Now, amen. Kenny is good, man. He's been hungry for God. I met him first when I preached at his church way back in the early 90s. He was hungry for God. You know what? He's still doing the same thing. Still hungry. He's good. So Emily must have one of those things. She whacks him in the head with her. But how many understand? We don't want to be in a place where we're desensitized and we don't even see that tribulation period's right on us. It's right here, folks. It's right at the door. It could begin this afternoon.
Amen.
Jesus Christ could come before lunch, amen, before your tacos. Come on. Amen. And we could be in this thing before the day's over. Right. We are that close. There's nothing that needs to be fulfilled. It's here. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Isn't this a great revival? Well, wake up. Where you been? Maybe revival's not been going on in your life, but there's been millions and millions of people being saved all over the world. There's revival going on in China. Millions are being saved. We need to wake up. Just because it's not happening in our life, that doesn't mean it's not going on. I mean, no, God's not just God of America. He's God of the whole world. And sometimes we get, you know, our American spirit, which is a good thing. Don't misunderstand me. I like it. I like living here in the United States. I like it. I had no problem with our president putting America first. He should. He's our president. Take that. I don't care whether you like it or not. I think every country's leader should be that way. He should put his country first. That's what he's there for. That doesn't mean we don't think about others, but hey, we're going to keep our own people first. All right. Praise God. Amen. I liked it. I thought it was good stuff. Thank God for somebody, some common sense. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 35. I just was saying that God's not just an American God, man. He's got people all over the world. Now, look at verse 35. For as a snare, his coming, this tribulation period, actually is what he's talking about. It's going to come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Notice he said that we're to pray so we're worthy. Or listen, what's he talking about, worthy? Well, he's just talking about praying so you'll be spiritually alert. Prayer causes you to be spiritually alert. Be spiritually alert so you're in a place that you see what's going on and you're worthy to escape. You're in a place to escape all this. You're in a place to make the rapture. Come on, how many remember the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins? Remember that? That parable, Jesus said that parable is for the end times. He said this is what it's going to be like in the end times. Then in the end times is what he's saying. It's the kingdom of heaven is going to be like five wise virgins, five foolish virgins. Five were ready. Five had extra oil. Five were ready to go. Five were not ready to go. That's the parable of the story. And the end of the thing is, he says, watch therefore that you'll be ready. You'll be ready to escape. So we have to be ready. We have to be spiritually alert. Amen. Now here's what, see, don't be a foolish virgin who runs out of oil before the Lord comes. You listen? See, what's the problem when you run out of oil? You can't see to get ready. You can't see you're not ready. You can't see to get ready. Amen. I mean, I've got to have light. What's this saying? Don't stop reading, praying, reading and praying, and you're reading your Bible and praying, going into the house of God. Don't start living loose. Amen. Right now, you know, Paul said this. He said, Jesus said this. He said, because iniquity would abound, the love of many would grow cold. But he that endures to the end will be saved. What if we don't endure? Now, let me explain to you. See, here's what's happening right now in the church. Paul said that in the Spirit speaks expressly. I mean, in other words, that word expressly means this is definite. The Spirit's given us something definite, that in the last times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits. Now, what I'm seeing in the church is a lot of Christians are being deceived by demons. They're slowly being seduced away from the things of God. Is that right? All right, let me give you an example. You say, well, tell me, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, here's an example. Church attendance in America is at an all-time low. Why is that? Because people are being deceived by deceiving spirits that they don't need it any longer. I'm fine. I didn't say they weren't saved, but they're living in a very dangerous spot. People are being deceived. They don't pray like they used to pray. They're not hungry for the Word of God like they used to be hungry. I hope that's not you, right? 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 But we see this in the church, and I'm not just talking about just, you know, certain churches. I'm talking about all churches, even churches like ours, where people are just being seduced away. Now, nobody just leaves the faith, gets up one morning and says, I'm leaving the faith. It's a slow seduction, deception. And Paul warned us. Now, when Paul warned us that there'll be some depart from the faith, I take that seriously, that that's not going to be me. I don't just assume because I'm a pastor, I've been in the ministry for 30-some years, and I'm not going to be one of them. I don't assume that. I assume if I don't do what the Bible says do, I will be one of them. See, I told you Wednesday night, I think it's Wednesday night, the devil's not convinced that you've left him forever. He's not convinced. He still believes he can get you back. Remember with Peter? Jesus said, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you. He wasn't convinced he couldn't get Peter back. He's not convinced he can't get me back. But he's not getting me back. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep myself in prayer. What did Jesus say? Pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape. That word escape means to be clean away from. He said, well, that rapture is escapism. You're exactly right. I don't want to escape my responsibility, but I want to escape the wrath of God. Amen. Absolutely. I want to escape the tribulation. Till that point, I should work for Jesus until he comes. But I don't want to be around here when he's cleaning this mess up. Amen. Amen. So you can call it whatever you want to. If you want to stay, help yourself. You want to go through the tribulation, help yourself. Amen. A guy in Dr. Barclay's church, I told you, said to him, Pastor, he said, because Pastor believes in the rapture of the church, that we're getting out here before the tribulation. But one of his members, people can believe what they want to. It's their business, you know, as long as it's not contrary-wise to the cardinal doctrines of the faith. But you know what I'm saying, there's cardinal doctrines. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're not even saved. But, you know, we could believe different about the rapture. We could be different about certain things and still be saved and still get along. But a guy came to his pastor one time and said, Pastor, I believe we're going through the tribulation period. Pastor said, you're not. He goes, what do you mean? He said, you can't even make it now to church. You definitely aren't going to make it through the tribulation period. I mean, if you can't live hot for God now with Christian TV all over the place, some good, some bad. You can't live for God now with churches and all the access we have to the Word of God. You can't live hot for God now. You certainly aren't going to do it during the tribulation period. Don't kid yourself. Hallelujah! Come on, there's a day coming when Jesus is going to get us out of here. Yes. You know what? If we follow the example of the Scripture, the world's going to see us go. Somebody saw Enoch go. Hallelujah. Enoch was, and he was not, for God took him. How'd they know God took him? How did they know that? Somebody had to see it, right? I mean, if your neighbor just disappeared one day, you wouldn't just think they got raptured out. You think, wonder what happened to him. Probably in the bottom of a lake somewhere. Right? So somebody saw Enoch go. When Elijah went, what's a rapture? Being taken from earth bodily into heaven. Well, you know, your body's going to get changed on the way up. But you're taken alive. Elijah was seen, wasn't he? Right? Who else went in a rapture? How about Jesus? Did they see him go? So there's three right there that when they got raptured out, they saw them go. I got a feeling the world's going to see us go.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. We used to sing an old song, Goodbye World, Goodbye. Anybody ever hear that song?
Yeah.
All right. So Phyllis and I are the oldest people besides Kenny on the planet. Don't you weep for me when I'm gone, because I won't have to leave here alone. When I hear that trumpet sound, my feet won't stay on the ground. Get up there. Come on, let's do this, guys. No, let's not. I know the song. Amen. How many know we are going out of here? And I believe we're going to be seen when we go. But you got to be ready. You got to be sensitive. Amen. Don't let deceiving, seducing spirits pull you away in this last day. You know, the sad thing that I'm seeing, and this is really sad for me, it's really sad for me, is this. is I've seen people that have lived for God for years and years that now in these last days are getting sucked out. And I'm thinking, you put in all this time, you stood all these years, and here at the very end, just like the foolish virgins, you're going to miss the whole thing when the bridegroom comes. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. Knowing that Jesus is coming back soon, we should live holier than we've ever lived. We should live more on fire than we've ever lived. Amen. We should compel people to come to Jesus. We should be doing more, not less. We should be persevering, see. And that's what the Bible says. He says that He would keep us from the hour that's coming on the earth. If we keep the word of His patience, or we keep His command to persevere, just keep at it. I said, just keep at it. Just keep at it. Amen? Let me just close. Can I look at one last scripture? We'll close right here. Let's go to Genesis, and this is it. Genesis chapter 5. What does God require? You know, does God require that we're perfect? Well, that nobody's perfect. But He requires us to have a heart for Him. And I'll show you this, and we'll close. Let's go to Genesis, the 5th chapter. I'm not letting seducing spirits take me out. Too many Christians right now are flirting with disaster. And yet we have preachers, even on TV, saying, well, it's all right to do this. It's all right to be this. Well, what right do you have to countermand the head of the church? You have no right. If the head of the church says we don't do that, we don't do that. I don't care how many... Just because somebody's on TV, folks, and has a big following and are popular and are hip and has a fog machine, doesn't mean they know God. I know some of them don't know God because they're telling me God's okay with certain things He said He's not okay with. And John said, if you know Him, this is what you know. In Him's no darkness at all. See? So I know they don't know God. I don't know who they know, but they don't know my God, because the God I know, there's certain things. And people say, well, you know, like one guy left, one of these famous musicians left the church, left the faith, because he said there's too many rules in Christianity. I'm thinking, where do you go to church at, brother? Probably nowhere. Yeah. No doubt. Because here's the thing. What you're calling rules are guardrails. Yes. They keep you from falling off the edge. Yes. Right? Yes. See, you get up on a tall building, you want some guardrails. Yes. Right? Yes. You know, when I was a kid, in our community, in our county, we had a fire tower. The Pike State Forest Fire Town. As kids, we'd go climb that thing. You know, some would get bold and climb it on the outside, which was real stupid. But they would. I think my dad did that when he was a kid. It's been there for years. Now you can't climb it because it's in bad shape. But we'd climb it. But there's railing around it to keep you from falling off. You could look and say, man, I'm telling you, these rails, remove these rails. They're just in my way. This is just legalism. Get those out of the way. Well, you know what's going to happen. You're going to fall over the edge and kill yourself. Those are not rules. They are guide rails to keep you from destroying your life. God's commandments are not just rules. They're to keep you from destroying your life. God knows what works sexually. He knows what works with, you know, the way we have relationship with other people. He knows all about it. He created it. So don't tell me the church has got rules. You know what the problem is? You want to live like the devil and you don't like the guide rails. Is that plain enough? I've never considered. The Bible says His commands aren't grievous. I've never considered His commands grievous. I figured they're there to help me. You know, but you got to grow up, have you not? When you're a kid, you think mom and dad's rules are all right. You know how dad would tell you, you don't have to peel out every time you take off. And then you buy your first set of tires, you think, you don't have to peel out every time you take off. It's like Brother Hagin said one time. He said, you know, he bought his son Ken, when he was young, bought him a car. And so he said, well, son, let's go take it out for a drive. He said, I got in there and he said, I just pushed the pedal to the floor. And, you know, in those days, those cars would make noise. they'd peel out, you know. And he goes, all of a sudden, Ken goes, whoa, Dad, whoa, whoa, whoa. All of a sudden, that's his car. He's paying for the tires. He said, well, son, that's the way you did all my cars. Yeah, well, I'm paying for it now. So you learn that some of the things your parents, you know, wanted from you, it wasn't because they were trying to put a crimp on your lifestyle. It's just that, you know, they knew. They already been there. They knew it hurt you. All right, Genesis, you there? Verse, chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says Enoch lived 65 years and he begat Methuselah. Now, who's the oldest guy in the Bible? How old did he live? 969 years. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So the indication is that when Enoch had Methuselah, he started walking with God. It says he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Now, there's reasons behind this. I don't know all of it, but I'll tell you there's some nuggets in here. Methuselah's name means when he dies, it shall come, or it shall burst forth. Methuselah was 969 years. One day I did the math. I looked at this, Chrissy. I did the math of how long Enoch lived, Methuselah, and I'll put all the math together. You know what I found out? On the year that the flood came was the same year that Methuselah died. Methuselah lived 969 years. When Methuselah was born, 969 years later, Noah's flood came. So God gave Enoch a prophetic revelation that when this son of yours dies, there's a flood coming on the earth. Enoch had an experience with God when Methuselah was born. We even find Jude said Enoch prophesied about the coming of the Lord. He prophesied the Lord would be coming. So what I'm saying is Enoch, he got something here when Methuselah was born. And Methuselah lived longer than anybody, just showing the long-suffering of God, see. So in that process, Methuselah was born, and then Enoch started walking with God. Now in verse 23, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. Go to Genesis chapter 6, next chapter. Let me show you something there. Come on, are you getting something today? I'm about done. Don't quit on me yet. Verse number 9, Enoch 6, or Genesis 6, 9. These are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. What are we saying? Are you walking with God? Enoch got raptured out, didn't he? The Bible says by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was translated. What did he have to do? He had to walk with God. Walk with God. See, you got to ask yourself, who am I walking with? Am I walking with the world? Am I walking with God? See, what does it mean to walk with somebody? You ever walked with somebody? Amen. You walk with somebody, and I've got a friend, and he likes to walk, but he walks really, really fast. And I mean, if he doesn't slow it down, we're not walking together. Because, I mean, I can, you know, I'm talking about this guy, he probably walks, somebody that you walk, you'll understand. He'll walk between probably 4 to 4.5 miles per hour to 5 miles per hour. He'll walk that. That's fast. I'm walking 3.2 to 3.6. He's at 4.0 or 4.5 or maybe 5. And so we went for a walk here a while back. Just he and I went to the track and went for a walk, you know, and he had to slow it down. We're going to walk together. We got to keep on the same pace. You see what I'm saying? So we got to keep. So if we're walking with God, we got to keep pace with God. Are you keeping pace with God? Are you walking with God? Are you walking, or are you just walking with the world? Or are you just walking with yourself? We got to walk with God. Yeah. Amen. Amen? Amen? You say, Pastor, this message condemns me. No, it doesn't. It convicts you. There's a huge difference. I don't know about you, but I like messages that convict me, and I have to change. I know, here's the good thing about it. Here's the good thing about it. The Bible says, if you're a son, God corrects you. If he stops correcting you, you better check up on yourself. Amen? Come on, did you get a thing or two out of this? Glory to God. Thank God. He's coming back. And he's coming back soon. Amen? Glory be to God. Could happen today. I don't know. Might. We'll just have to wait and see. Praise God. But just be ready. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.